Well, good morning, everyone. Hope that you're in good spirits this morning. I haven't seen you in a couple weeks, but definitely good to be with you here this Sunday morning. We did have a great time last weekend. The singles in campus, those who went, really igniting the fire and our love for God. And so I encourage you to talk with them, different things they learned, different decisions that they've made. But definitely was a great time. The time that we did spend, fellowship, people were getting their groove on, dancing on the floor. Eric was really enjoying himself, bouncing all over the place, and we had a great time. Definitely was a great, very encouraging weekend. Now, we also had, prior to the week before, we were in Halifax, because Karen did the Women's Day for the Halifax Church, and keep hearing great things, word spread across Canada, the amazing job that she did. It was a great time. She did a fantastic job. It was great being able to meet with the church Sunday morning, and they sent their greetings as I sent our greetings, just thinking that if you'd want me to send our greetings to them. So I sent greetings on behalf of all of us, just in case you may have gotten word that Howard said hi on behalf of the Ottawa Church of Christ. Well, it was amazing, the God that we do serve, that we worship a God that does not sleep or slumber, as Francis talked about, because we all need our sleep and our slumber. But it is good to be able to be here this morning. Even if you're tired, even if you're fatigued, it is definitely good to be here this morning. Today we're going to talk about all things are possible with God. Amen. And that is what Jesus said to a man that we're going to read about in Mark chapter 10. But all things are possible with God. You know, you may be watching hockey and realizing, right? It's possible that the Ottawa Senators can make the playoffs. But it's also impossible. Well, not mathematically impossible, but in my own faith, my own belief, it's absolutely impossible that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to make the playoffs this year. And right, they're going next year, the year after. Hopefully, when Eric is of age, maybe he can play for the Maple Leafs. That's another topic to stop and help. But anyways, all things are possible with God. Possible, able to be done. Feasible, in the realm of possibility. Achievable, attainable. That's what it means when we think about possible. And today we're going to talk about how all things are possible with the amazing, powerful, loving God that we do serve. Before we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we do come before you this morning. Father, grateful to be here today. Father, thank you so much for the ways that you have blessed our lives in such an incredible way. Thank you, God, for the physical blessings you've given us. Thank you, God, for the spiritual blessings that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you so much that you've given us your word, that we can study it, examine it, be encouraged by, be convicted by, so that, Father, we can learn how you want us to live our lives, and so that, Father, we can be encouraged, convicted, but, Father, we can grow deeper in our love for you. And, Father, it's my heart and my prayer that, Father, each and every day we would be growing deeper in our love for you, we'd be becoming more passionate in our faith, in our love, and our desire to please you. And, Father, as we study your word here today, that, Father, we will realize that all things are possible, not by our own strength or what we can do, but, Father, only through what you enable us to do. And, Father, only through your power working in our life, Father, to achieve the things that you want us to have. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray that as we study it, your word would convict us, encourage us, challenge us, that, Father, your spirit work through me as I preach it, so that, Father, we can make decisions today, Father, that will follow Jesus with all of our hearts. Father, again, we thank you again for this time to be here. Please be with us as you study your word at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. As we talk about this morning, how all things are possible. In Mark chapter 10, we're going to read about an encounter that Jesus had with a rich young man and see what lessons we can learn from this text here this morning. In Mark 10, beginning reading in verse 17, says, as Jesus started on his way, A man went up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then could be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or fields for me and the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. The many who are first will be last, and the last first. You know, a number of different lessons that we can learn here from Jesus' encounter with this rich man. You know, this rich man came and asked Jesus a very important question. You know, many people would have probably asked about the here and now. But he asked, what must I do? He says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, if you ever had an encounter, the opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus, think about what question you might want to ask him. But sometimes we might want to ask him some questions about the here and now. You know, God, what must I do to find a better job? What must I do to find myself a spouse? You know, the list goes on. But this man asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And hopefully you wouldn't ask that question if you already had a spouse. You know what I mean? Like, maybe things can be a little bit tough, things can be a little bit rocky. You know, you got to hold in there and believe that, you know, with all God, all things are possible. But hopefully if you already have a spouse, that wouldn't be one of the questions you would ask. Amen to that. But he says, you know, Jesus says, why do you call me good? And Jesus says, no one is good except God alone. That itself is amazing that Jesus said that himself. And he says, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And the young man's response was, all these I've kept since I was a boy. You know, if I were Jesus, my thing would be, let me talk to your parents. I mean, the whole honor your father, mother, all these I've kept since I was a boy. I'm actually like, okay, you know, all these I've kept since you're a boy, okay, let me talk to your parents. To get their perspective, to see if it's the same as what you mentioned. And so, but Jesus looked at him, and Jesus, it says, loved him. And Jesus told him, you know, one thing you lack. He said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And it says, the man's face fell. He went away sad because, as we know here, he was a man who had great wealth. So Jesus says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed in both verse 24 and verse 26. Because the disciples assumed, as each and every one of us probably would assume, man, this person for sure would be saved. This person for sure would have eternal life. And so they asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus simply said, with man, it's impossible. But not with God. That all things are possible with God. You know, as we talk about how all things are possible with God, I want to talk about two things here this morning. Number one is that salvation is possible with God. Amen. Salvation is possible with God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, you can turn there. We're going to come back to Mark chapter 10. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we see the very heart of God. God's desire for mankind. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, begin reading in verse 3, says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. You know, salvation is possible with God. You know, we see it as God's heart that God wants for all mankind to be saved. God wants for each and every one of us here this morning, wherever we're at in our faith and our beliefs, God wants for each and every one of us to come into a saved relationship with him. That God loves the whole world and sent his son to die on the cross for you and for me. You know, but while God wants all men to be saved, this does not mean that all men will be saved. That salvation is possible with God. But not all men will accept God's offer. That many will reject God's offer of salvation. But salvation is possible with God. While God's love is unconditional, salvation is not. While God's love for mankind is unconditional, we read in the scriptures that salvation is not. You know, salvation is possible, but we must have the right heart before God. You know, we must see who we are before God. You know, you think about this rich young man. We see that, you know, he held to some morals in his life. You know, he did not murder, did not steal. According to this, he honored his father and mother, did not commit adultery. You probably met this guy, probably a good guy, friendly guy, kind. Probably someone today that would be going to church every Sunday, maybe be involved in the church, involved in the community. Probably read his Bible, pray. Probably an all-around good person. And probably assume someone like this for sure would be going to heaven. But this man probably thought, because he was a good man, because he had some morals in his life, he probably thought he was doing great, but got fooled. You know, it is easy to get faked out into thinking we are doing great and we're good with God. You know, before I became a Christian, you know, I thought I was a good guy. You know, I went to church from as young as I can remember till my teen years. You know, I didn't have a criminal record. Many of my friends and neighbors did. That's just the neighborhood I grew up in. You know, I was respectful to my teachers. Not one of my teachers ever said, you know what, Howard was disrespectful. Howard was very kind, you know, even once in a while, maybe bring the teacher something. Maybe an apple. That was probably more specific about my grade 2 teacher who I had a crush on. I was grade 2, I was like, wow, she's so beautiful, I'm in love. Anyways, I was like 6 at the time. That's another story. So. Yeah, but you know, respectful to the teachers, You know, and so, you know, did not murder. Amen. In case you're wondering, I would skip that part. He didn't mention that part. That's a given. You know, but I tried to be a good person. And some of the people who knew me, they knew, okay, Howard wouldn't do this. He would treat people kind. He wouldn't do some of the things the other people did. And so my standard of good was whatever I saw around me. So my standard of good was when I saw good people, I compared myself to them. And my standard of good was also when I looked at other people, I thought of myself as better than them. You can always find someone who you believe is worse than you. And so I compared myself to other people, and I thought, you know what, I'm a good guy. So why shouldn't I consider myself a Christian? So I considered myself a Christian. But then in my life, I had what we call more smaller sins, call them more respectable sins, where my life was filled with immorality, impurity, deceit, cursing, idolatry, experimenting with drinking, smoking weed. But I considered myself a good person because the different things I was doing, it wasn't hurting anybody. So I thought, okay, I'm not hurting anybody. So you know what? I'm a good person. But it's only when I came and I was studying the Bible and I matched my life up according to what the scriptures taught me. And I remember when I was studying the Bible with some friends, I remember after one of the studies, going home and contemplating. And I remember just sitting in my room thinking, and then all of a sudden it hit me. You know, I'm not a good person according to what the scriptures teach me. The scriptures teach that, you know, I'm a sinful man. And then it was then I decided, you know what? I need God in my life. If I want to be saved, I need to continue studying the Bible. And just a matter of days later, I ended up getting baptized. But it's easy to get faked out into thinking, you know what? We're good with God. Simply because of maybe the good things that we do that may not hurt anybody else. But they do hurt God. You know, this man was a rich man. You know, sorry, can't relate there. You know, it's one of those things, but you think about, he was a rich man, and they were one of the hardest people to reach. They say, are the rich. It's not impossible, as Jesus said. But it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, and it's hard to reach the rich. Why? Because they don't need anything. They don't need anything. They have whatever it is, they have whatever material things that they have. So for them, their life is not filled with any kind of need that they can recognize. Different story, it's easy for the poor to realize that, you know what, they are in need. Because if they're poor, they have physical needs, which at times it helps them to recognize that they also have other needs in their life as well. But Jesus is teaching that when it comes to salvation, you know what? Even the hardest guys, girls are able to be saved. Whether rich, whether young, that they're able to be saved and have salvation. The rich man did not follow Jesus. He had great wealth, but he was not willing to give it up. But his money was the one thing that stood between him and God. That's why Jesus told him to give it up. And it wasn't just about money. It was about having Jesus number one in his life. It was about him having a heart that was willing to give up everything for Jesus. You know, this man, as we see here, it says a rich young man. You know, he was young. And he probably thought, you know what, maybe Jesus came around this time, maybe he'll come around in the next few years, because sometimes it's hard for the young to realize the need for God as well. But what's important for us to understand this morning, that no matter if we're young, no matter if we're old, no matter if we're rich, no matter if we're poor, that we all need Jesus Christ. And salvation is only possible through Jesus Christ. Our trust must be in Him. not in ourselves, not in our goodness, not in our possessions, because there's no amount of money for us to earn our salvation. There's no amount of good deeds for us to earn our salvation. That salvation is possible, but only with God. You know, this morning I want you to think about where are you at in your own faith. You know, do you see your need for Jesus Christ in your life? You know, salvation is possible, but we must accept who we are before God. But we also must have the right heart before God as well. You know, Jesus wanted all of his heart. Not part of his heart, not 99% of his heart, all of his heart. You know, you think about if you were in a relationship with your spouse or someone and said, hey, you know what? They're willing to be 90% faithful to you and 10% unfaithful to you. You think about it. If you were to say, you know what? If you were to say, hey, you know what? I'll accept that. Hopefully not. You'd probably say, you know what? Take a hike. You want someone who's going to be 100% committed to you. Not someone who's going to be 90% and 10% committed to someone else or something else. You know, Jesus wants us to be 100% committed to Him. Not 50, not 75, not 100, not 99, but to be sold out for Jesus. You know, commitment is not something we do twice a week, on Wednesday or Sunday. It's not something that we do once a week, but it's something that we do as a day-to-day life. But reality is, many people don't want to be totally committed to following Jesus because it demands too much. Commitment to Jesus and the things of God can interfere with our schedule, interfere with our comforts, our desires. So many will look for convenience rather than commitment. That be committed as long as it is easy. As long as it's not painful. You know, I was reading something called one-way fans. And it says, one-way fans who try to follow Jesus without denying themselves is by compartmentalizing the areas of their lives they don't want Him to have access to. They try to negotiate the terms of the deal. I'll follow Jesus, but I'm not going to sell my possessions. Don't ask me to forgive the people who hurt me. They don't deserve that. Don't ask me to save sex for marriage. I can't help my desires. Don't ask me to give a percentage of my money. I worked hard for that cash. And instead of following Jesus with their financial life, they follow Money Magazine. In their relationships, instead of Jesus, they follow Oprah. In their sex lives, instead of following Jesus, they follow Cosmopolitan. They follow Jesus, not just with every area of their life. You know, we have to make sure that we are not one-way fans, that we have the heart that Jesus wants us to have, that we follow Jesus, we learn from Jesus, and we, whatever He wants us to do, that we have that heart that's willing to give up and do whatever Jesus wants us to do. You know, Jesus looked at you here this morning. Would He say there is anything that you're putting before God? If He said, you know, the one thing you lack, or the two, or the three, you know, what would He say that is the one thing you lack that might stand before God, but that might hurt our relation with God if we're a disciple today? Because sometimes we can, again, when we first became a disciple, we can have the heart to give up everything, follow Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Years go by. 5 years, 10 years. Then the things we give up, we take them back. And we go, okay, no, man, I gave up my time, so I've devoted my time to serving the church, doing this for the church. Now, it's my time. I'm going to use my time, I want to use my time. You know what I'm saying? You know, God, you have control of my money. Use our money for this, use our money for that, but then later it could be, you know what? It's my money. I see all the things in the world and I want to be able to buy those things. Or maybe it's a job, hobbies, whatever it is, some things we put before God. Sometimes it can be our own reputation. We think about, you know, I'm going to give up my reputation. What are people going to think of me? You know, someone told me one time, you know, you don't have a reputation to give up. You know, sometimes we might worry and go, you know what? If I become a Christian, man, I'm going to ruin my rep. I'm going to realize, you know what? You don't really have a rep. We think we have a rep. We may not, you know, in God's eyes and people's eyes, we may not have a rep. Or there could be some sin that we hold on to that we just don't want to give up. You know, this man went away sad. And he missed out on what Jesus was offering him. And there's nothing worthwhile. There's nothing worth holding on to that would get in the way of our relationship with God and having eternal life. You know, salvation is possible, but only with God. And number two, for us to think about here today, a blessed life is possible with God. You know, Jesus says in verse 29, you know, Jesus said to the disciples, he says, I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, home, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them as well, persecution, in the age to come, eternal life. You know, the rich man, he missed out. He missed out on something that was incredible. And Jesus assures us that anyone who gives up something valuable for his sake will be repaid 100 times as much in this lifetime. Although maybe not necessarily in the same form. So this is not, you know, we're not talking prosperity preaching here this morning. Because you can hear someone say, you know, hey, if you give up $100, God's going to give you 100 times as much. Yeah, that's not what Jesus is saying. But what we have and what he gives us is 100 times as much valuable, more valuable than whatever it is that we give up. That the physical blessings he blesses us with, the spiritual blessings, that God blesses us. But again, unfortunately, the rich man, he missed out. He made a poor choice and chose his wealth and holding on to the things in his heart rather than giving up everything to Jesus. He kept his money, but he lost out big. He did not receive the 100 times as much and did not also eternal life. He missed out on eternal life, a rich life with Jesus, and God's plan for his life. And the thing we always have to realize is that you never lose out when you give something up for God. You never lose out when you give something up for God, because you know what? You can never outgive God. We can never outgive God. At times you may say, well, if I give this, I'm going to miss out. You know, I remember thinking when I was counting the cost of becoming a Christian, thinking, oh, but if I become a Christian and commit my life to Christ, you know what? I'm going to miss out on going out to the parties with my buddies where we're going out 5 days a week. I'm going to miss out on all these other things. You become a Christian, you realize, man, I'm glad I didn't because I would have missed out. And I don't miss any of that stuff. But I'm glad I didn't miss out on the spiritual blessings that I'm able to have as a Christian. You know, today we might think, you know what? It's not worth giving up whatever it is to follow Jesus. You know, maybe what I have is greater than what God is going to offer me. Or we might think, you know, Jesus, I've given up everything to follow you, but you know, I'm still waiting to experience 100 times as much in this present age. But of course, we always need to ask ourselves if we experience and feel those things, or have we given up everything to follow Jesus? Because Jesus promises that you will receive 100 times as much, provided we give up our whole heart to follow Jesus. Sometimes we may not want to give up our whole heart. We might give up half of our heart and experience 100 times as much. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said we want to give up our heart completely to Jesus. And He will work in our heart and we'll experience 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. You know, as Christians, we always have to remember how blessed we are as a Christian. It is very easy to forget and want so many different things of this world. But we have to remember what we do have in Christ is greater than what we see in the world. Now there is nothing that can compare to what Jesus has given us in our relationship with Him and what we're going to inherit in the years to come, eternal life. You know, I'm always reminded of how incredibly blessed I am, an amazing wife, an incredible son, friends internationally, locally, nationally. And this all the amazing spiritual blessings that we can wake up as a Christian and have our sins forgiven as we continue to walk in the light, that God continues to wash away our sins, that God's Spirit comes and lives inside of us to help transform us and help us to change and grow as a Christian. And then we can have a relationship with God. We can talk to God at any time when we're feeling sad, when we're feeling excited. We can go and talk to God at any time. We've got to remember how blessed we are. And we've got to be content. We've got to realize how incredibly blessed we are. Sometimes we lose sight and we focus on the things we want. We don't focus and remember what we do have, and we don't feel like we have the 100 times as much blessing in our life because we're focused on other things as opposed to remembering what we do have. You know, all things are possible with God. Salvation is possible with God. You know, this morning, do you see your need for God in your life? And what steps can you take today to be right with God? You know, maybe it's learning what it really takes to follow Jesus. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Make a decision. I'm going to learn what it means to follow Jesus with all of your heart. Or maybe you've been studying the Bible and you're like, hey, you know what? I want to get baptized. I want to become a Christian. But you know what? This is holding me back. To make a decision to put Jesus first in your life. To be committed to following Jesus. You know, have we given up everything to follow Jesus in our life? You know, if we're a professed Christian, do we still have that heart that has given up everything for God? And we must continue to have that heart until the very day that we see Jesus face to face. You know, let us make the decision today to humbly accept God's offer of salvation and be committed to following Jesus. Let's have the right heart before God and not allow anything or anyone get in the way of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And let us commit to Him with all of our hearts. He will guide us. He will encourage us. He will strengthen us as we live the blessed life as a disciple and one day have eternal life. Amen.